Krishna Book, Canto 20, Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Chapter 87, Scene 21, Eternal Individuality. Na ghatata udbhava prakriti purushayor ajayor ubhaya yuja bhavant yasho brito java bud buddhavat twayita ime tato vivida nama gunai parame sarita ivarnave madhuni li yor ashesha rasa. Two significant words used in this connection are yanmaya and chinmaya. In Sanskrit grammar, the word mayat is used in the sense of transformation and also in the sense of sufficiency. The Mayavadi philosopher interprets the word yanmaya or chinmaya to indicate that the living entity is always equal to the Supreme. But one has to consider whether this affix, mayat, is used for sufficiency or for transformation. The living entity never possesses anything exactly in the same proportion as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this affix, mayat, cannot be used to mean that the individual living entity is self-sufficient. The individual living entity never has sufficient knowledge. Otherwise, how could one have come under the control of Maya or the material energy? The word sufficient can be accepted, therefore, only in proportion to the magnitude of the living entity. The spiritual oneness of the Supreme Lord and the living entities is never to be accepted as homogeneity. Each and every living entity is individual. If homogeneous oneness is accepted, then by the liberation of one individual soul, all other individual souls would have been liberated immediately. But the fact is that every individual soul is differently enjoying and suffering within this material world. The word mayat is also used in the sense of transformation, or sometimes it is used to mean byproduct. The impersonalist theory is that Brahman himself has accepted different types of bodies, and that is his lila or pastime. There are, however, many hundreds and thousands of species of life in different standards of living conditions, such as human beings, demigods, animals, birds, and beasts. And if all of them were expansions of the Supreme Absolute Truth, then there would be no question of liberation, because Brahman is already liberated. Another interpretation put forward by the Mayavadis is that in every millennium, different types of bodies are manifested, and when the millennium is closed, all the different bodies or expansions of Brahman automatically become one, ending all different manifestations. And then in the next millennium, according to this theory, Brahman again expands in different bodily forms. If we accept this theory, then Brahman becomes subject to change. But this cannot be accepted. From Vedanta Sutra, we understand that Brahman is by nature joyful. Brahman cannot therefore change himself into a body which is subject to painful conditions. Actually, the living entities, who are part and parcel of Brahman, are infinitesimal particles prone to be covered by the illusory energy. As explained before, the particles of Brahman are like sparks blissfully dancing within a fire, but there is the chance of their falling from the fire to smoke, although smoke is another condition of fire. This material world is just like smoke, and the spiritual world is just like a blazing fire. The innumerable living entities are prone to fall down to the material world from the spiritual world when influenced by illusory energy. And it is also possible for the living entity to become liberated again when, by cultivation of real knowledge, one becomes completely freed from the contamination of the material world. The theory of the Asuras is that the living entities are born of material nature or Prakriti, in touch with the Purusha. But this theory also cannot be accepted because the material nature and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are eternally existing. Neither the material nature nor the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be born. The Supreme Lord is known as Ajna, the unborn, and similarly, material nature is also called Ajna. Both terms, Ajna and Ajna, mean unborn. Because both material nature and the Supreme Lord are unborn, it is not possible that they can beget the living entities. As water in contact with air sometimes presents innumerable bubbles, so a combination of material nature and the Supreme Person causes the appearance of the living entities within this material world. As bubbles in the water appear in different shapes, similarly the living entities also appear in the material world in different shapes and conditions, influenced by the modes of material nature. As such, it is not improper to conclude that the living entities appearing within this material world in different shapes, such as human beings, demigods, animals, birds, beasts, etc., all get their respective bodies due to different desires. No one can say when such desires were awakened in them, and therefore it is said, anadi karma, the cause of such material existence is untraceable. No one knows when material life began, but it is a fact that it does have a point of beginning, because originally every living entity is a spiritual spark. As sparks falling onto the ground from a fire have a beginning, similarly the living entities coming to this material world have a beginning, but no one can say when. Even during the time of dissolution, these living entities remain merged in the spiritual existence of Lord Krishna as if in deep sleep. But their original desires to lord it over the material nature do not subside. Again, when there is cosmic manifestation, they come out to fulfill the same desires, and therefore they appear in different species of life. This merging into the Supreme at the time of dissolution is compared to honey. In the honeycomb, the taste of different flowers and fruits are conserved. When one drinks honey, one cannot distinguish what sort of honey has been collected from what sort of flower. But the palatable taste of the honey presupposes that the honey is not homogeneous, but is a combination of different tastes. Another example is that although different rivers ultimately mix with the water of the sea, that does not mean that the individual identities of these rivers are thereby lost. Although the water of the Ganges and the Yamuna mix with the water of the sea, the river Ganges and river Yamuna still continue to exist independently. The merging of different living entities into Brahman at the time of dissolution involves the dissolution of different types of bodies, but the living entities along with their different tastes, remain individually submerged in Brahman until another manifestation of the material world. As the salty taste of seawater and the sweet taste of Ganges water are different, and this difference continuously exists, so the difference between the Supreme Lord and the living entities also continually exists, even though it appears that at the time of dissolution they merge. The conclusion is, therefore, that even when the living entities become free from all contamination of material conditions, they merge into the spiritual kingdom, for still their individual tastes in relationship with the Supreme Lord continue to exist. Thus ends Chapter 87, Scene 21, Eternal Individuality. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.